This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Everybody, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. It's lovely to be here with you on a Wednesday morning, halfway through the week-ish. Very excited about tomorrow's Roundtable, brought to you by Roundtable Pizza. Just an extra hour to talk about...
Why Roundtable?
Yeah, simply the best. Just an extra hour to really, really talk about this baseball team of ours that is ruining lives and tearing families apart. Ben and I got into an argument in here this morning, and it's never fun. Never a fun thing when your baseball team controls your entire life. Sucks. But listen, that's what we're here for. And we'll be your punching bags today, as we are every day. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He is the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
I would like for this show to get to a point where this team doesn't affect our lives.
Yes, like our mental health and whatnot. Yeah. I'm with you. I get you on that. Ben Higgins, I was going to say friendly neighborhood sports anchor. He's fiery this morning. Our fiery sports anchor is here. Good morning, Benjamin.
Just a bunch of bull sprint.
Playing like absolute sprint right now. There's just no two ways about it. I texted the fellas yesterday after Shug. I hated today's show. I hated it. And I said, because, you know, we let the chat dictate our show, our mood. And Ben rarely does that, but they're getting to even you now. I mean, I just got a tweet from SD Papa. He said, as he said, in 10 minutes, time to start kissing Mikado's ass. And I said, well, who is Mikado? And he said, you're $350 million man third baseman. That's Machado. He was terrible last night. Terrible. I don't know what you want. It's hard to defend. It's easy to defend, actually, swinging with the bases loaded on a fastball in. Hard to defend last night. Last night was a rough, rough scene. Let's get into that game. I don't want the Padres to dictate our show or the mood today. I do like to have fun. I really do. It's kind of who we are. And I said, I didn't laugh one time yesterday. Not one time on this program. I had a panic attack live on the air, which was a first. That was really cool. Hope that doesn't happen anytime soon again. I went back and listened to Don't Do This yesterday. That's when my chest was caving in and my ears fill up. If you missed that, it's great.
You fought through it pretty well.
I did.
I didn't realize it was happening. I'm sitting 3 feet from you.
I went back and listened. And you can hear me set up the story, but I can't really talk. I was like, Paulie, there's a guy, he caught two foul balls. Play the audio.
Yeah.
And I'm like chugging water, trying to take deep breaths. And yeah, that was not my favorite. Not my favorite show yesterday. And you're going to have in this business, when you do 20, 21 hours of live radio a week, you're going to have some clunkers. And we've had some clunkers for sure. But yesterday was not my favorite. So today I'd like to have some fun. I'd love to talk about this team. But it cannot control our emotions, our moods. I'm sorry, Ben, that I told you to relax earlier, because you do feel sometimes painted in a corner when you want to come in and analyze a baseball team, right? And that's really our job, is to analyze it. But I think we also, part of the gig is to be there for the audience. And yes, I did say this. I will pull the curtain back. Sometimes you do need to give the audience what they want. And sometimes sensibility isn't it. Yesterday was one of those days. They didn't want to be sensible, and that's okay.
I don't know that we always know what the audience wants. I think the people who are angry always make their opinions known.
That's true.
That they're mad, they're frustrated with the Padres.
Well, they're mad at us.
I think, and they take it out on us because we're kind of the first line here, which I do understand that part of it.
Which is very cool, because we don't make the kind of money that baseball players make. They are the ones you should be mad at, not us. But, I mean, I got a DM last night on Twitter or on Instagram. Dodger parades in our own city. Our batters get hit. Bases loaded from multi-million franchise players do nothing. I'm tired of this BS, especially from you guys with this kumbaya BS. You play, you get a trophy. Nobody gets trophies in the big leagues for like third or fourth place teams. Grow some balls and say enough. This is BS from you guys too, defending these guys. I said, relax, bro. He goes, I can't. We need a different approach. I said, you can't control it and neither can we. He said, of course not. I'm sorry. I'm just amped up.
I'm glad that there is this much passion about our baseball team now. Didn't used to be this way. The Padres used to be a diversion, a distraction during the summer when other things weren't going on. But no one really got that worked up.
You're
about
right.
The San Diego Padres.
Even when we started 6 years ago, it was like, they're young. They'll figure it out. Once you sign Eric Hosmer, then you sign Manny Machado, and then you start to see some of the fruits of your labor, you know, you go, okay, expectations. Now, I think as a baseball team and as a fan base, you always want expectations. Always. You want expectations. Boy, a lot of us don't know how to handle them. We really, really don't. And I'm one of them. And hell, maybe some of our players don't know how to handle them either.
I think it would help if we really had some confidence that when a team goes through the normal ups and downs of a baseball season, which every team does.
Correct.
That we feel like, but we know our team's going to emerge on the other side just fine. When the Dodgers go through a down series and they lose 2 or 3 to the Padres, they'll get worked up for a time, but I think their fan base knows that in the end, we're going to be fine. We're going to win the division. We're going to have big periods of dominance. And I don't think,
for good reason,
that we have that confidence here. They just haven't shown it enough. They've shown too many times that these little periods of, you know, not hitting with runners in scoring position turn into big problems that impact a season. So, of course, you get worried. You get, you start panicking about what is about to happen. Yeah, I can easily look in my crystal ball and go, boy, they lose today, they get swept by the Rockies, and then they get a tough road trip with 4 in Atlanta. That's a really good team. I mean, you could easily lose 3 or 4 there, and then
you drop
2 or 4 in Cincinnati. Now you're 7 games under .500.
And you're done.
You're toast in the wild card race. You're trying to get back for the next few months, and I don't know that they're good enough to do it. So, yeah, I can go to the doom place just as easily as the rest of you can go to the doom place. I just don't know that other teams and other fan bases go there as quickly as we do.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't follow a lot of other teams, man, and I don't. I'm obviously don't have a show that covers them and a YouTube chat. Dumbaya is good. That's better. Instead of Kumbaya, we can
Dumbaya,
do
my Lord, Dumbaya.
I like that a lot. But I looked at the message last night. I go, buddy, I'm glad you're fired up. I do appreciate the passion. I'm passionate. I'm a passionate guy. Ben's a passionate guy. Paulie's a passionate guy. But yeah, man, I just sometimes
Mike Schilt's a passionate guy.
Yeah, he is. But I will say,
a lot of the players are passionate. All of them, maybe.
Trust me, when you guys are listening out there and you're hearing us bloviate about this team and you're hearing me try to make excuses or at least give solutions or whatever, I'm as tired of myself as you are tired of me. I'm as tired of hearing my own voice as you are of hearing it. Just so you know. It's exhausting. Last night, watching this team, you know, again, try to claw back from a ridiculous lead against a very, very below average team. And I understand that they're hot right now. Isn't it funny, though? Momentum works for the Colorado Rockies, but it doesn't work for the San Diego Padres.
I'd say taking two out of three from the Dodgers, you'd feel pretty hot.
You would feel pretty hot about that. Why does it only work for other teams? Why does momentum work in Oakland? Why does it work in San Francisco? Why does it work in L.A.? Why does it work everywhere else but San Diego? This is the only city where momentum does not exist. Why do you play so poorly at home? You know, why do you play down to your competition and up to better competition? Those are the things I think are fair to ask. And I do think, yeah, man, they hit some bleeders last night. We hit some balls on the nose. It didn't work out. I'm still pissed, though. I'm still pissed that it was 6-0 at one point. And you let Cal Quantrill, who's, you know, good. He's on a bit of a heater right now. But certainly not enough to you know, dominate you for 7 innings again, like Dakota Hudson did the night before. There's just something missing. There's something missing right now. And I know a lot of people put it on Manny. That's fine. He said it yesterday. I make the most money. Well, you counted for 5 of the 27 outs last night, right? And that's a tough look. You know, hey, great, you got a knock. You almost scored. But those numbers, again, are piling up with runners in scoring position. You know, again, like, I know they got a couple of knocks last night, scored a couple runs.
What was it before that?
It was 0 for 24
they got to right before Luis Camposano's RBI single in the 7th.
Yeah, for sure. So just know this, man.
Oh, yeah, just tip your cap.
Just know this. I'm as tired of defending them or talking about them as you are at hearing it. All right. I there's no defense for losing two straight games to the Rockies. There's just not. And again, the momentum thing.
There is coming back from it, though.
There is. You can come back from it.
Absolutely can.
You absolutely can come back.
Remember last year, the A's won, what was it, 8 in a row?
Yep.
And we go, how did they do that? You know who they beat? They beat the Milwaukee Brewers, who won 92 games in the division, and the Rays, who won 99 games and got a wild card. You can come back from losing even to bad teams. It is possible.
No question.
As frustrating and as agonizing and stupid as it is to lose to the Rockies, you can come back from it.
Yeah, you can come back. What you do is you just make you dig your hole. You dig your hole and you keep digging your hole. What you can't have happen then is you look up and you go, I've dug my hole 6 feet in the ground. And now I'm really, really grinding to get out of it. You know what? And I'll say this too, like, we've been pretty lucky with it, you know, injury-wise this year. Really, for the way that most teams are falling apart right now, we've been pretty lucky. Maybe we're just not good. You know, maybe we're just not a good team. And I don't think that's unfair to say. You know, again, you are what your record says you are. And their record is, what, 2 games below 500 now?
One
game below 500. Just as Elston tweeted last night, as we said, they are allergic. It's like they're allergic to success. You know, it eludes them every time. They step on their junk at every chance they get. And so, yeah, man, I'm frustrated as well. But believe me, I'm tired of talking about it as well. There's days I feel like, man, they really don't deserve a lot of oxygen, you know? They really don't. But I don't want it to you know, ruin our relationship with the audience. I don't want it to, you know, ruin our relationship with each other. They're not worth that, certainly. Never. Never, ever, ever. So we do have some fun stuff planned today. We will do some laughing. We will try our hardest to make you laugh because that's really what we are as a show. But I was pretty hot about it last night. Wasn't that hot about the night before. Tonight, I really, well, think about when
I turned the game off after it was 6-0.
Think about when you look at your lines last night, if you want to place a wager, and you're like, oh, Dylan Cease, it's a no-brainer. No-brainer, I'm riding with Dylan Cease, and he pitched really well. You got to pick your starter up. And Manny really had a chance in the first inning to set the tone, and he grounded into another double play. I will say, in honesty, I laughed my ass off when that happened. I could not believe that it happened. The weirdness of baseball, his comments before the game about, you know, making adjustments and whatnot. Same guy, Ryan McMahon, just rips one down to third, boom, boom, inning over.
And Manny admitted before the game, he's not right now.
No.
He's not there. He's trying to get there, but you know, you can't expect him to just overnight find it when he doesn't have it.
And
he doesn't have it right now.
I kind of do. Like if it were,
it'd be almost more frustrating if he stepped up in the first inning and oh, now you come up with the hit.
I know what you're saying, but
he's in a bad spot right now. He said as much. He goes, yeah, I'm not where I need to be yet, and I'm trying to get there.
If it's Eggy Rosario and he's like, I can appreciate that. He's just too talented of a baseball player to play like he's played this season. And I think the same can be said for Xander. I think the same can be said for Tatis at times. And I think the same can be said for Ha-Sung Kim. These guys are too talented. You know, there's a lot of plays you can look at last night and go, come on, dude. You got to get that run in. You know, that's one. Xander Bogaerts, you're a pro. You got to hit that ball the other way. You can't rip it down to third with Manny standing on third.
Of course, the next at bat, when he doesn't need to do that, he gets a screaming liner the other way for a hit.
Exactly.
But not when it needs to happen. They can all do what they need to do. It just never happens when it needs to happen.
Well,
that's the runners in scoring position issue they've been going through lately.
Get these cats on the road where they play much better baseball. And it's a bummer. It's a real bummer because people show out to Petco Park every single year. But right now, man, the team's not going right at all. And it's really frustrating. And I totally, totally understand your frustration because I'm right there with you. Ben is right there with you. Paulie's right there with you. We all are. But we got to stop letting it control our lives in May. In May. It's May.
Well, usually the incorporator is worth, if not a laugh, at least a smile.
Yeah,
and when
a snicker.
When the word is sprained, which Woods gave Jesse yesterday, meaning a piece of otter dung.
Yeah.
I've got to imagine that's worth at least some sort of humor on the broadcast last night. We'll get to that when we come back. We'll give you the menu for the rest of the show today. It is a Big League Wednesday. Let you know when everybody's coming on. Good morning to you. We are here for you one way or another. Even if you're angry, we're still here on San Diego's number one sports station. Kelly's got traffic on a Wednesday on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's see how Jesse worked the incorporator into the game last night. If you missed it, Jesse joins us each Tuesday, voice of the Padres. We give him the incorporator word, and yesterday's word, Woodsy gave it to him right at the end of our conversation in our 8:35 segment.
Tier 1 Derek sent this in to my DM, and I almost
didn't believe this.
He
one,
didn't
Jesse.
Believe it was word. I started laughing hysterically. Go ahead, Paulie.
Sprained.
Sprained. Now, you might think, oh,
like
man.
He sprained his ankle.
That's what I was going to say. Manny Machado sprained his elbow.
He doesn't sprained his ankle.
I mean, good luck. Here, the definition is it's a piece of otter's dung.
What?
Otter's dung.
Why? What's so special about the otter's excrement that it gets its own word?
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense to me. All right, so that now the task is get it into a baseball radio broadcast. And Paulie, was Jesse able to succeed as he always is last night?
Oh, man, it came down to the wire.
Again!
But he did it.
Not the post-game show this time.
Not the post-game show, but the bottom of the ninth.
Oh, my Lord.
Luis Arraez at the dish. I sat there, I was waiting. Never heard from him. I'm like, maybe he forgot again. It's okay.
Which is fine, nope. Watching this team.
Got a text last night. Bottom nine, Luis Arraez.
The scoreless inning with one walk Sunday against Texas. Here's the payoff pitch. Arraez swings, rips it over the head of the first baseman Montero, but foul down the left field line.
Sawed his bat off.
Wow.
Get some new lumber.
I hear him thinking.
Get some new lumber.
Send that broken bat to the beaver dam. Just be careful not to step in any sprint.
Cut that off the end.
Send that bat to the beaver dam. Be careful not to step in any spring.
Send that broken bat to the beaver dam. Just be careful not to step in any spring.
I mean, we
cut that off the end.
Jesse asked, is it something they use as like a binding material? We don't know. It's otter.
We don't know.
I don't know if the otters build dams, but it was a great.
I feel like they do.
I think it was a great story that he told.
He's brilliant. He is brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Fantastic. All right, here's what we got coming up on the program today. Set the menu for you. Padres wrap up. We will talk about yesterday's game. You know, what went right and what went wrong. More wrong, of course, in a 6-3 loss. Take on Woods in our 7 o'clock segment, and don't do this. It is a Big League Wednesday. Adam Jones will check in at 7:35. We've got Brett Boone joining the show at 8:35 this morning. Always get good conversations with both of those guys.
I'd like some story time. I love when they tell stories.
We've got some good ones from Brett Boone couple of weeks. You were off a couple of weeks. You had a great Pedro Martinez.
We played it when story. I came back. Yeah. It was unbelievable. And then the one that Booney told last week, I mean, he is just on fire. So will you text him and just say, we want stories today, just to prime the pump. Give us your best stories, because I don't want to analyze the San Diego Padres. They're not good right now. You know, not analyze, not for 4 hours like yesterday.
But it's our job to fix them.
Oh, yeah. We got to fix them. Right.
If we just abdicate our responsibility, who's going to fix this team? I mean, the coaches? No, obviously not. It's not up to the coaches to fix the team. It's up to the fans and the radio hosts to point out what is wrong so that they can get back in the right direction. That's how other cities do it. Do you think the Dodgers just win the division without the fans giving them a lot of input and direction and the radio host kind of guiding?
Yeah.
They just have better, smarter media members in other cities. That's why other teams do better than ours.
I'm happy to go out and hit fungos or whatever. We're going to be down at Petco Park today. Going to be interviewing Dylan Cease, which kind of bums me out because he had kind of a tough loss, you know, tough luck L last night. But I'm sure he's flushed it and moved on to the next start and the next opponent, which will be the Atlanta Braves, I believe.
Yeah.
Which will be an awesome, awesome matchup to see. But, you know, he's been one of the bright spots this year, certainly.
Was, and, he was good. Yeah. I mean, eight more strikeouts, left the game having allowed just, what, two runs?
Yep.
One more came in after he had left that Stephen Kolek allowed the inherited runner. But Dylan Cease has been fantastic. Everything the Padres have asked for. One of the two big acquisitions, Luis Arraez, has been terrific as well. Padres have done already more to address this year's team than most teams do all year long.
Yeah.
Most teams will not make even one trade that comes close to Cease or Arraez. Padres have made two of them already. That's a lot to do before the start of June in terms of remaking your roster from the very start of the year. So, you know, they've been active trying to improve the team. What do they have on their hands? A team that's one game under 500 at this point. So, yeah, we will get to our Padres wrap up. We'll get to the highlights of yesterday's game and more coming up next. Paulie's Rindle Report in the ninth hour. And then, as Wood said, we are off to Petco Park for some conversation after the game. Say hi to everybody. I wish they'd all be in a better mood. I assume they're going to be in a pretty foul mood after the last couple of days.
I think you'll be surprised.
I mean, they'll have flushed it to the extent that they flush it.
You have to. That's the thing. You have to do it. You can't grind on every L. You know, you got to move on. We need to do the same. You know, we all need to do the same.
Yeah, we can take a little more player mentality as a fan base. You know, grind during the game, and then after it's over, flush it.
It's over. Can't do anything.
Move on to the next one.
That's it.
We will do our wrap-up, and then maybe we'll flush this one and move on to the next one when we return. With Ben Woods, I like it. On San Diego's, there goes the sprinks all the way down the drain.
Down the crapper.
On 97.3 The Fan. Sarah Ben Woods is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Had my biggest lineup win last night. Thank you, Caitlin Clark, for scoring at least 1 point. It was a little nerve-wracking for a quarter and a half when I just needed the one, and she had zero. But she did end up getting 20 in her debut, although the Indiana Fever lost to the Connecticut Sun 92-71. She turned the ball over 10 times. I mean, pros are tougher than college, Woods. That's always the case, no matter what sport you're going to. There's a big jump from college sports to professional sports single time.
For us, would it be like having a podcast and then going on the radio?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do actually think there is a big difference.
I think it's a huge difference.
And I don't want to denigrate any podcast.
No, there are some great,
talented podcast hosts out there.
Massively talented. But it's a totally different game.
They don't have to do it live. They don't usually have to do it for 4 hours every single day.
You can go back and edit if you want.
You know, they don't have to work with a hard outs on the clocks on podcasts. It's a different ballgame. It's a different sport. It's very similar.
Yeah.
It's all we have to compare it to. Just like, you know, college basketball and pro basketball or college baseball and professional baseball. Very similar. The rules are somewhat the same. The mechanics are the same.
But yeah.
It's also a different game once you get to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, and people are going to be absolutely gunning for her, man, which is a weird thing, right? Because you can agree, man, so good for the sport. She's brought so many eyeballs here.
But also,
I want to take her down. I want to embarrass her.
Oh, the Sun absolutely did. They actually put San Diego player, Dejanay Carrington, was like assigned to her.
Yeah.
And she made Caitlin Clark's life miserable, at least in the first half, was just picking her pocket all over the place and like, okay, it's a new game. Now, she still led her team in points. She didn't put up a lot of bad shots. I think she went 4 of 11 from three-point range. It's not a bad percentage, not great for her, but over 33%. So one game in. She's got another one tomorrow. It's the New York Liberty. But I did win on my prize picks.
I'm
happy.
Congratulations. You're a degenerate now, officially.
I've joined the club.
You've joined the degeneracy club of coming on the air the next day and telling everybody what a great gambler you are.
Can you give me my win for once?
You got your win. Imagine betting on the San Diego Padres, as I've already said today. Imagine it. Could you imagine taking your hard-earned money.
Well, if you had the Padres plus 3.5, congratulations to you. We will go through your unbelievable
huge win
last
yes.
night in our Padres wrap-up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino, fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
First pitch on the way to the left-hand hitter. McMahon skies one to right field pretty deep. Fernando backing up, checking where he is. At the wall, leaping up, gonna go. Moonshot to right for McMahon. His sixth home run of the season. And the Rockies strike. It is 1-0 here in the fourth. The 0-1 from Cease grounded right back up the middle. Hits second base and deflects into shallow center for an RBI single. Tovar comes in to score. The Rockies lead it 2-0. The 1-0 pitch is hit on the ground sharply up the middle. That's into right center and a base hit. Rogers will come in and score. Doyle going to go first to third. Behind the play, Cave goes into second base. An RBI single for Jake Cave. And now a 3-0 Rocky lead. Pitch on the way and a little roller up the third baseline. That's going to be trouble. Kolek picks it up, throws to first, not in time. Bang, bang play as Doyle comes in to score, and it is now 4-0. No balls and a strike to Beck. And he lines this one softly into shallow right. That'll drop down in front of Fernando, an RBI single for Jordan Beck. His first run batted in the big leagues, and the Rocky lead is now 5-0. Ezekiel Tovar leads off. First pitch swinging, hits one to deep left field, and gone. A home run to begin the seventh. Tovar's fifth of the year. Led off last inning with a double, leads off this inning with a home run, and now 6-0 Colorado. One for their last 26 as this one's grounded up the middle into center field and a base hit. Well, forget all that. Profar comes in to score. Merrill speeds around a third, an RBI single for Luis Camposano. Padres are on the board at 6-1. 1-2 the pitch. Urias swings, hits it on the ground through the right side, and a base hit. Merrill comes in to score. Camposano will advance one station to second base. An RBI single for Urias, and now a 6-2 game here in the seventh. 1-1. The pitch to Cronenworth bounces away. It's going to go all the way to the Padre dugout. Tatis has scored. Urias is thinking about it, and I think the ball rolled into the dugout. 1-2 to Tatis. Here's the pitch, and a ground ball to the left side, charged by Tovar at short. He's got it. Off balance throw to first is in time. And a 1-2-3 bottom of the ninth for Tyler Kinley as he collects his first save of the year. Rockies have won 6 in a row. They beat the Padres tonight 6-3.
Talked about it last night. You know, how do you view it? You know, you can look at it from a couple of different lenses. You know, feel far worse if we weren't creating opportunities. Opportunities are being created. Capitalized on some of them tonight. But we left a lot of traffic out there and weren't able to capitalize. And, you know, that's part of the game.
Opportunities being created is this year's big battle.
That was last year also.
Did they say that last year?
Well, I don't know if they said it, but they did. And
they had
plenty of guys on base last year. They couldn't bring them home.
Yeah.
That's what's happened lately. I mean, this series, I went back and counted. The Padres have had, I think, 32 base runners. The Rockies have had 20. I mean, the Padres have had way more people getting on base, way more opportunities to score, but the Rockies have cashed in on many more of their opportunities than the Padres had. And happened yesterday against Cal Quantrill. Padres had hits in the early innings. I think they had 5 hits, a couple walks in the first 5 innings, but double play grounders. None of them came with runners in scoring position. So you're sitting there with 0-0, and you're asking Dylan Cease to be
perfect,
absolutely perfect. And as good as Dylan Cease is, no pitcher can always be absolutely perfect. And he gave up the home run to Ryan McMahon in the fourth inning. Happens. He gives up fly balls, so yep. Dylan Cease is going to give up a home run or two. Usually a solo shot doesn't hurt you, but I thought the hidden key to the game, and Jesse talked about it, and Tony talked about it on the broadcast last night. I think Don and Mudd did as well. Fifth inning, which rarely is the best inning for the opposing team, an inning they didn't get a hit. They had one base runner on a walk, but it was Jake Cave led off the inning, striking out. And then with one out, Jordan Beck struck out. Those were probably the two at-bats that won the game for the Colorado Rockies. Two strikeouts. How do you win the game on two strikeouts? Well, first one was an 11-pitch strikeout with five foul balls. The second one was a 12-pitch strikeout with seven foul balls. And because they worked Dylan Cease for 30 pitches that inning, by the time he got to the sixth, he was a little gassed. He did give up the one run, you know, a grounder up the middle, the ball hit the base, but that caused Mike Schilt to come out and get him. Whereas, had he not gone through everything in the fifth inning, you could have gone with Dylan Cease through the sixth, probably through the seventh. Do the Rockies score all those runs if Stephen Kolek doesn't get in? And I don't want to blame Stephen Kolek for everything. He didn't really give up anything hard.
It was all bleeders,
man. It
was
bleeders, bloopers, ground balls. It was bad luck for Stephen Kolek. But he also didn't strike anybody out the way Dylan Cease could have.
Correct.
If Dylan Cease is still in there, there's a good chance he strikes out Brenton Doyle and the inning is over. And it's still a 2-0 game. And you have a chance then when you come back and score three the next inning to actually win the game. When you are down 5-0 and 6-0, yeah, you score three, you're still in a
still
deep hole,
home.
And you can't. So that fifth inning
was brutal
with those foul balls, and give the Rockies some credit for that, just, you know, spoiling some good pitches and doing what they did. They probably won the game in that fifth inning by tiring out Dylan Cease and getting him out of the game a little bit earlier than he would have otherwise.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. The most frustrating thing for a put-away pitcher like Dylan Cease is somebody up there spoiling your best pitches for 10, 12 pitches to one guy. You're just worn out at that point. Your pitch count climbs. And again, It's all circular, but you know, you look at Cal Quantrill's economy of pitches, and he was fine. None of our guys were really up there doing that. Crony had a pretty good at bat late in the game, but that wasn't off Cal Quantrill. I don't think that was later when he spoiled some tough pitches as well. But man, you had your opportunity there in the first inning. First two guys get on. Crony goes down. Manny wraps into a double play. Inning over. And it sucked. It's one of those things where it does, when people say, well, you need to switch the lineup up, I will absolutely get behind that. And as much as I love Manny, Ben, I have never said Manny needs to be your cleanup hitter. He just happens to be put in the cleanup spot right now because that's where Mike Schilt is batting him. If you need to rejigger the lineup, so be it. Do what you have to do. Again, you know, I also don't get the sense that Manny walks in and says, I'm your cleanup hitter, period. I don't necessarily think that. But if you wanted to move some guys around, I'm absolutely fine with that. Jerkson Profar, again, on base four times. Some bad base running by Jerkson twice. Once he got caught, the other time, that was a bad decision going to third base. A bad, bad decision with two outs. Didn't need to happen. He made it, and what do we always say? If you're going to do it, make sure you do it. But holy cow, that was a pretty
bad. There
was
no reason to risk that with two outs. I was actually madder about the one that he made than trying to stretch and get into scoring position on the ball that looked like it was going to be a double into the corner. Rockies made a nice play, and Jerickson, I don't know if he didn't get, you know, out of the box well or whatever, but he was clearly out by a mile.
Great throw, good, you know, and they Mutt said,
maybe he thought they were going to try to throw Manny out at third, and he was taking the base on the back end. I'm sure there was a thought process that went into it. It was just the wrong decision there by Jerickson Profar, who's had a couple of base running gaffes in his unbelievable start.
And he's always trying to do something, which, you know, at the end of the day, I guess I appreciate that, but hitting him between ice cold Manny, recently warm but mostly cold Xander Bogaerts, both of those guys went 1-for-4. You can't move Kim up in the lineup, and a lot of people are calling for Jackson Merrill to be moved up in the lineup. They've done it. They've done it a little bit this season. They've moved him around, but you know. And then at that point, you could move up Camposano. He's put some good swings on some balls. I thought he had a gapper last night as well. It didn't go our way last night, but man, that can't be the theme of the season, especially when you're playing a team like the Colorado Rockies. You've got to be able to put those guys away early, and you had your chances, and you didn't do it again.
Yeah, if you're playing from behind.
The
Padres have done better playing from behind last year, but you're still going to lose most of those games. You can't continue to put yourself in a bad position And you've got to find a way to get to some more of these starting pitchers.
Brandon says they need to play with some aggression, plain and simple. I will say, I do...
Sometimes I think they're overly aggressive.
Sometimes I do, but I do feel like they're playing a more aggressive... Starting the runners yesterday, when Crony was up, you know, even Mudd goes, oh, wow, okay. I mean, they're trying to make something happen. I don't feel like they're being passive. I really don't. That's an honest assessment, Brandon. I don't feel like they're being passive at all. I do feel like selective aggression is good at the plate. I feel like selective aggression is good on the base paths. But I do feel like they've played more aggressive baseball this season. Doesn't work out in their favor all the time. But yeah, man, I just, again, you're one game below 500 right now. You cannot let this hole get any deeper. And we all talked about off the air. God, I hate the salvage game. I really hate a salvage game I hate being swept. No question about it. You just cannot get swept today, but I do hate the salvage game so much. Then you'll have a day off, and then you got to go to Hotlanta and play those guys.
There's no winning the salvage
game.
You can win it, but whatever the outcome is today, if the Padres go out and win 13-0, I'm frustrated. Like, why didn't you do this the first couple of days?
I agree.
If they win close, it's like, oh, you're still kind of scuffling. At least you got that one, but you're still unhappy about losing the series. And if you lose in any way, shape, or form, well, you just got swept by the Rockies, and you undid the good work you did by winning four straight series. You basically gave it all up to a last-place team. And while, yes, it is a last-place team that is playing well right now, you can't get swept. You really shouldn't have lost the series at all. That's out the window. You can only win today's game. They got to go out and grab this one. Mike Shildt, after the game, he pointed out something that I believe is true. You know, he mentioned the line drives, the rockets that the Padres hit, especially late in the game, that seemed like they'd hit one hard, it would find a glove, either an infielder or an outfielder. The Rockies would hit one soft, it would fall in. That is very true. That is very true. The Padres played a fairly unlucky game yesterday. If you really want to be a good team, though.
It's a weird game some nights.
Yeah, if you really want to be a good team, and we all agree the Padres aren't there yet, right? They're not
no.
They're not good.
Yes. No. They can be. There's flashes of great.
You have to be able to overcome bad luck against especially lower teams when you're playing them.
You have to win
games. You will get unlucky in a baseball season, and sometimes you can't overcome an unlucky game. It just happens, but you have to be able to be good enough to overcome those line drives that go at people. Give yourself more chances and more chances, just to the point where it's just inevitable that you're going to win some of these games. And the Padres are not at that stage yet, where they are just so inevitably good. The Dodgers feel like a lot of the time they're like inevitably good.
There's a difference between being locked into like, damn, right at him. All right, I'm going to rip the next one.
Yeah.
And feeling confident that they will rip the next one. Now it's like, oh, there was the one that we've been waiting for.
Yeah.
And of course, it was right at somebody.
Sure.
And then they're going to roll over or strike out.
You know, the Campy hit a seed. Manny hit a seed that Jake Cave has turned into prime Griffey out there in right field, man, and has made two really nice plays late in games. Tip your hat to him. That's the only guy I'm tipping my hat to, by the way. Him and the guy that worked the 15-pitch AB. I'll tip my hat to those guys. That's really hard to do.
One of them was Jake Cave. Two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
The other one was Beck.
Beck. I'll tip my hat to those guys. But as far as those starting pitchers go, you should have lit both those guys up, man. You absolutely should have.
All right. We will come back. Hour number two. Play a little Take on Wood. Still looking for our first qualifier this month for our new trip to Las Vegas. We will play when we come back. Don't Do This is ahead as well. And Adam Jones, busy 7 o'clock hour on a Wednesday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Sarah Benowitz is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Had my biggest lineup win last night. Thank you, Caitlin Clark, for scoring at least 1 point. It was a little nerve-wracking for a quarter and a half when I just needed the one, and she had zero. But she did end up getting 20 in her debut, although the Indiana Fever lost to the Connecticut Sun 92-71. She turned the ball over 10 times. I mean, pros are tougher than college, Woods. That's always the case, no matter what sport you're going to. There's a big jump from college sports to professional sports every single time.
For us, would it be like having a podcast and then going on the radio?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do actually think there is a big difference.
It's a huge difference.
And I don't want to denigrate any podcast.
No, there are some great,
talented podcast hosts out there.
Massively talented. But it's a totally different game.
They don't have to do it live. They don't usually have to do it for 4 hours every single day.
You can go back and edit if you want.
You know, they don't have to work with a hard outs on the clocks on podcasts. It's a different ballgame. It's a different sport. It's very similar.
Yeah. It's all we have to compare it to.
Just like, college basketball and pro basketball, or college baseball and professional baseball. Very similar. The rules are somewhat the same. The mechanics are the same.
Yeah.
It's also a different game once you get to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, and people are going to be absolutely gunning for her, man, which is a weird thing, right? Because you can agree, man, so good for the sport. She's brought so many eyeballs here.
But also,
I want to take her down. I want to embarrass her.
Oh, the Sun absolutely did. They actually put San Diego player Dejanay Carrington was like assigned to her,
yeah.
And she made Caitlin Clark's life miserable, at least in the first half, was just picking her pocket all over the place and like, okay, it's a new game. Now, she still led her team in points. She didn't put up a lot of bad shots. I think she went 4 of 11 from three-point range. It's not a bad percentage, not great for her, but over 33%. So one game in. She's got another one tomorrow. It's the New York Liberty. But I did win on my prize picks.
Okay.
I'm happy.
Congratulations. You're a degenerate now, officially.
I've joined the club.
You've joined the degeneracy club of coming on the air the next day and telling everybody what a great gambler you are.
Can you give me my win for once?
You got your win. Imagine betting on the San Diego Padres, as I've already said today. Imagine it. Could you imagine taking your hard-earned money?
Well, if you had the Padres +3.5, congratulations to you. We will go through your unbelievable
huge win
last
yes.
night in our Padres wrap-up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Pitch on the way to the left-hand hitter. McMahon skies one to right field pretty deep. Fernando backing up, checking where he is. At the wall, leaping up, gonna go. Moonshot to right for McMahon. His sixth home run of the season. And the Rockies strike. It is 1-0 here in the fourth. The 0-1 from Cease grounded right back up the middle. Hits second base and deflects into shallow center for an RBI single. Tovar comes in to score. The Rockies lead it 2-0. The 1-0 pitch is hit on the ground sharply up the middle. That's into right center and a base hit. Rogers will come in and score. Doyle going to go first to third. Behind the play, Cave goes into second base. An RBI single for Jake Cave. And now a 3-0 Rocky lead. Pitch on the way and a little roller up the third baseline. That's going to be trouble. Kolek picks it up, throws to first, not in time. Bang, bang play as Doyle comes in to score, and it is now 4-0. No balls and a strike to Beck. And he lines this one softly into shallow right. That'll drop down in front of Fernando, an RBI single for Jordan Beck. His first run batted in the big leagues, and the Rocky lead is now 5-0. Ezekiel Tovar leads off. First pitch swinging, hits one to deep left field, and gone. A home run to begin the seventh. Tovar's fifth of the year. Led off last inning with a double, leads off this inning with a home run, and now 6-0 Colorado. One for their last 26 as this one's grounded up the middle into center field and a base hit. Well, forget all that. Profar comes in to score. Merrill speeds around a third, an RBI single for Luis Camposano. Padres are on the board at 6-1. 1-2 the pitch. Arai swings, hits it on the ground through the right side, and a base hit. Merrill comes in to score. Camposano will advance one station to second base. An RBI single for Arai, and now a 6-2 game here in the seventh. One and one. The pitch to Cronenworth bounces away. It's going to go all the way to the Padre dugout. Tatis has scored. Arise is thinking about it, and I think the ball rolled into the dugout. One and two to Tatis. Here's the pitch, and a ground ball to the left side, charged by Tovar at short. He's got it. Off balance throw to first is in time. And a 1-2-3 bottom of the ninth for Tyler Kinley as he collects his first save of the year. Rockies have won six in a row. They beat the Padres tonight 6-3.
Talked about it last night. You know, how do you view it? You know, you can look at it from a couple of different lenses, you know. Feel far worse if we weren't creating opportunities. Opportunities are being created. Capitalized on some of them tonight. But we left a lot of traffic out there and weren't able to capitalize. And, you know, that's part of the game.
Opportunities being created is this year's big battle.
That was last year also.
Did they say that last year?
Well, I don't know if they said it, but they did. And
they had
plenty of guys on base last year. They couldn't bring them home.
Yeah.
That's what's happened lately. I mean, this series, I went back and counted. The Padres have had, I think, 32 base runners. The Rockies have had 20. I mean, the Padres have had way more people getting on base, way more opportunities to score. But the Rockies have cashed in on many more of their opportunities than the Padres had. And happened yesterday against Cal Quantrill. Padres had hits in the early innings. I think they had five hits, a couple walks in the first five innings. But double play grounders, none of them came with runners in scoring position. So you're sitting there with 0-0, and you're asking Dylan Cease to be
perfect.
Absolutely perfect. And as good as Dylan Cease is, no pitcher can always be absolutely perfect. And he gave up the home run to Ryan McMahon in the fourth inning. Happens. He gives up fly balls, so yep. Dylan Cease is going to give up a home run or two. Usually a solo shot doesn't hurt you. But I thought the hidden key to the game, and Jesse talked about it, and Tony talked about it on the broadcast last night, and I think Don and Mudd did as well. Fifth inning, which rarely is the best inning for the opposing team, an inning they didn't get a hit. They had one base runner on a walk, but it was Jake Cave led off the inning striking out. And then with one out, Jordan Beck struck out. Those were probably the two at-bats that won the game for the Colorado Rockies. Two strikeouts. How do you win the game on two strikeouts? Well, the first one was an 11-pitch strikeout with five foul balls. The second one was a 12-pitch strikeout with seven foul balls. And because they worked Dylan Cease for 30 pitches that inning. By the time he got to the sixth, he was a little gassed. He did give up the one run, you know, a grounder up the middle, the ball hit the base, but that caused Mike Schilt to come out and get him. Whereas, had he not gone through everything in the fifth inning, you could have gone with Dylan Cease through the sixth, probably through the seventh. Do the Rockies score all those runs if Stephen Kolek doesn't get in? And I don't want to blame Stephen Kolek for everything. He didn't really give up anything hard hit.
It was all bleeders, man.
It was bleeders, bloopers, ground balls. It was bad luck for Stephen Kolek. But he also didn't strike anybody out the way Dylan Cease could have.
Correct.
If Dylan Cease is still in there, there's a good chance he strikes out Brenton Doyle and the inning is over. And it's still a 2-0 game. And you have a chance then when you come back and score three the next inning to actually win the game. When you are down 5-0 and 6-0, yeah, you score three, you're still in a
still
deep hole,
home.
And you can't. So that fifth inning
was brutal.
With those foul balls, and give the Rockies some credit for that, just, you know, spoiling some good pitches and doing what they did, they probably won the game in that fifth inning by tiring out Dylan Cease and getting him out of the game a little bit earlier than he would have otherwise.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. The most frustrating thing for a put-away pitcher like Dylan Cease is somebody up there spoiling your best pitches for 10, 12 pitches to one guy. You're just worn out at that point. Your pitch count climbs. And again, It's all circular, but you know, you look at Cal Quantrill's economy of pitches, and he was fine. None of our guys were really up there doing that. Crony had a pretty good at bat late in the game, but that wasn't off Cal Quantrill. I don't think that was later when he spoiled some tough pitches as well. But man, you had your opportunity there in the first inning. First two guys get on, Crony goes down, Manny wraps into a double play, inning over. And it sucked. It sucked. It's one of those things where when people say, well, you need to switch the lineup up, I will absolutely get behind that. And as much as I love Manny, Ben, I have never said Manny needs to be your cleanup hitter. He just happens to be put in the cleanup spot. right now because that's where Mike Schilt is batting him. If you need to rejigger the lineup, so be it. Do what you have to do. Again, you know, I also don't get the sense that Manny walks in and says, I'm your cleanup hitter, period. I don't necessarily think that. But if you wanted to move some guys around, I'm absolutely fine with that. Jerkson Profar, again, on base four times. Some bad base running by Jerkson twice. Once he got caught, the other time that was a bad decision going to third base. A bad, bad decision with two outs. Didn't need to happen. He made it. He made it, and what do we always say? If you're going to do it, make sure you do it. But holy cow, that was a pretty bad.
There was
bad.
No reason to risk that with two outs. I was actually madder about the one that he made than trying to stretch and get into scoring position on the ball that looked like it was going to be a double into the corner. Rockies made a nice play, and Jurickson, I don't know if he didn't get out of the box well or whatever, but he was clearly out by a mile.
Great throw, good, and they Mutt said,
maybe he thought they were going to try to throw Manny out at third, and he was taking the base on the back end. I'm sure there was a thought process that went into it. It was just the wrong decision there by Jurickson Profar, who's had a couple of base running gaffes in his unbelievable start.
And he's always trying to do something, which, at the end of the day, I guess I appreciate that, but hitting him between ice cold Manny, recently warm but mostly cold Xander Bogaerts, both of those guys went 1-for-4. You can't move Kim up in the lineup, and a lot of people are calling for Jackson Merrill to be moved up in the lineup. They've done it. They've done it a little bit this season. They've moved him around. But, and then at that point, you could move up Camposano. He's put some good swings on some balls. I thought he had a gapper last night as well. It didn't go our way last night. But, man, that can't be the theme of the season, especially when you're playing a team like the Colorado Rockies. You've got to be able to put those guys away early. And you had your chances, and you didn't do it again.
Yeah, if you're playing from behind.
The
Padres have done better playing from behind last year, but you're still going to lose most of those games. You can't continue to put yourself in a bad position, and you've got to find a way to get to some more of these starting pitchers.
Brandon says they need to play with some aggression, plain and simple. I will say, I do.
Sometimes I think they're overly aggressive.
Sometimes I do, but I do feel like they're playing a more aggressive. Starting the runners yesterday when Crony was up, even Mudd goes, oh, wow, okay. I mean, they're trying to make something happen. I don't feel like they're being passive. I really don't. That's an honest assessment, Brandon. I don't feel like they're being passive at all. I do feel like selective aggression is good at the plate. I feel like selective aggression is good on the base paths. But I do feel like they've played more aggressive baseball this season. Doesn't work out in their favor all the time. But yeah, man, I just, again, you're one game below 500 right now. You cannot let this hole get any deeper. And we all talked about off the air, God, I hate the salvage game. I really hate a salvage game. I hate being swept. No question about it. You just cannot get swept today. But I do hate the salvage game so much. Then you'll have a day off. And then you got to go to Hotlanta and play those guys.
There's no winning the salvage game.
There's really not.
You can win it, but whatever the outcome is today. If the Padres go out and win 13-0, I'm frustrated. Like, why didn't you do this the first couple of days?
I agree.
If they win close, it's like, you're still kind of scuffling. At least you got that one, but you're still unhappy about losing the series. And if you lose in any way, shape, or form, well, you just got swept by the Rockies, and you undid the good work you did by winning four straight series. You basically gave it all up to a last-place team. And while, yes, it is a last-place team that is playing well right now, you can't get swept. You really shouldn't have lost the series at all. That's out the window. You can only win today's game. They got to go out and grab this one. Mike Schilt, after the game, he pointed out something that I believe is true. He mentioned the line drives, the rockets that the Padres hit, especially late in the game, that seemed like they'd hit one hard, it would find a glove, either an infielder or an outfielder. The Rockies would hit one soft, it would fall in. That is very true. That is very true. The Padres played a fairly unlucky game yesterday. If you really want to be a good team, though.
It's a weird game some nights.
Yeah, if you really want to be a good team, and we all agree the Padres aren't there yet, right? They're not. No. They're not good.
Yes. No. They can be. There's flashes of great.
You have to be able to overcome bad luck against especially lower teams when you're playing them. You have to win games. You will get unlucky in a baseball season, and sometimes you can't overcome an unlucky game. It just happens. But You have to be able to be good enough to overcome those line drives that go at people. Give yourself more chances and more chances, just to the point where it's just inevitable that you're going to win some of these games. And the Padres are not at that stage yet, where they are just so inevitably good. The Dodgers feel like a lot of the time they're like inevitably good.
There's a difference between being locked in, like, damn, right at them. All right, I'm going to rip the next one.
Yeah.
And feeling confident that they will rip the next one. Now it's like, oh, there was the one that we've been waiting for.
Yeah.
And of course, it was right at somebody.
Sure.
And then they're going to roll over or strike out.
You know, the Campy hit a seed, Manny hit a seed that Jake Cave has turned into prime Griffey out there in right field, man, and has made two really nice plays late in games. Tip your hat to him. That's the only guy I'm tipping my hat to, by the way. Him and the guy that worked the 15-pitch AB. I'll tip my hat to those guys. That's really hard to do.
One of them was Jake Cave. Two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
The other one was Beck.
Beck. I'll tip my hat to those guys. But as far as those starting pitchers go, you should have lit both those guys up, man. You absolutely should have.
All right. We will come back. Hour number two. Play a little Take on Wood. Still looking for our first qualifier this month for our new trip to Las Vegas. We will play when we come back. Don't Do This is ahead as well. And Adam Jones, busy 7 o'clock hour on a Wednesday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.